Well, first of all, I want to thank some people at the beginning of this message. I want to thank the men who have been preaching over the past 3 or 4 weeks from this pulpit, because my, oh my, oh my, the sermons that have come from this pulpit have been mighty and strong and just blessings. And so I just want to thank Brother Jeremy, my great messages. Brother Mike, my oh my, great message. And last week, my own son, great message. And just thankful that, you know, we have, I think, and again, you can differ with me if you want, I think we have some of the greatest preachers and teachers of the Word of God in all of this area. I do. I believe that with all my heart. And that's not to puff them up. God, they give God the glory. But I'll tell you what a blessing. And I want you to know, as a congregation, I want to kind of welcome in this message some other congregations that listen to the messages from this church, because we have people now listening to the messages from this church in New York City, in Washington, D.C., and out in Colorado. There's three groups now. I had a call from New York this past week saying, what a blessing this church has been to these people in three different areas. And what they're doing is they get together on Wednesday night. They have, I don't know how they do it, a conference call or some way, and they're connected with each other, and they listen to the message on Wednesday nights from this church. And they're inviting people. People are getting saved. And so I want to welcome them right now. And just, isn't it great? Isn't it great? What God is doing. And praise God. He's an awesome God. Now I want to just share with you a story that somebody told me in this church. And it's a story about a man who owned a pet store. And he owned this pet store, and he had a parrot in the pet store, and had it in the cage and set right there in the pet store. And one day, a woman walked into the pet store, and she walked in, and she's walking past the cage of this parrot. And the parrot said, "Hey, lady." She said, "What?" He said, "You're ugly." Oh my, she was offended. So she went right to the store owner and said, "I want you to know that your parrot, I walked past him, and he actually said that I was ugly." And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'll deal with this." And so he went and he talked to the parrot. He said, "Listen, you can't do that kind of stuff. That's wrong to do that. We're going to lose business here. Don't do that ever again." So 2 weeks later, same woman walked into the pet store. She's walking and past the parrot. Parrot said, "Hey, lady." She said, "What?" He said, "You're ugly." Oh. So she goes right to the store manager again and says, "Listen, your parrot again insulted me, and you need to do something. I've been doing business in this store for 10 years. And I'll tell you what, unless this stops, you're going to lose my business." And the guy said, "Okay, hey, listen, I'll deal with it." He went to the parrot and he said, "Listen, you've got to stop this. That's not right what you're doing, saying this to this lady. I'm going to lose business on this. And I'll tell you what, you do it once again, and it's curtains for you. You're going to end up in parrot soup." So, lady came back. 2 weeks later, she came in the store. She's walking in the store. She walks past the parrot cage. Parrot said, "Hey, lady." She said, "What?" He said, "You know what." The parrot learned a lesson, right? You got to watch what you say. You got to watch what you say. You know, in the Bible has a lot to say about what we say It's interesting. What we say and how we talk to one another is really important. It's really important. And it's powerful. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 18:21, you know the verse. It says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. With our mouth, folks, we can kill. We can kill a reputation just with a few words. We can destroy a relationship with just a few words. Destroy a marriage. Destroy the unity of the church. Churches have been destroyed by what people have said. There's power in what we say. Power to kill. Death is in the power of the tongue. But there's also life in the power of the tongue. By what we say, we can build up people. We can strengthen our marriages. We can strengthen relationships. We can even build a church by how we speak. Life and death. That's why we got to, you know what? We've got to watch what we say. We've got to watch what we say. Jesus said it in the New Testament. You know what Jesus said? The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth that which is evil. For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. See, there's a connection between our heart and our mouth. And we got to watch. And Jesus went on for there, and you know what he said? So be careful. Because every careless word that a man shall speak, he shall render account for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. We need to watch what we say. Amen. Now, we are in a series. It's kind of been interrupted here and there, but we are in a series on the one another statements of the Bible. How you and I can be a blessing to one another in the church. And you remember the word one another. You all remember this because I've said this 10 times. But the word one another, allelon, occurs over how many times?
55.
Well, it does over 55, but the word allelon, it's over 100 times. But it applies to relationships in the church. 55 times. 55 times, which tells us what? God thinks it's pretty important how we treat one another. How we relate to one another. How we minister to one another. How we bless one another in the church. It's important. In fact, he says, listen, the overall statement is what? Love one another. He says, listen, this is the ID badge. This is how people will know you are a follower of mine. If you love one another as I have loved you. That's what we need to do. In fact, it's so important. People are going to come into the church and see how we love one another. And I'll tell you what, when they see us loving each other the way the Bible says we should love each other, they might just say, you know what? Hey, maybe I should become a Christian. Maybe I should become a follower of Christ. If they're like that, they're different. They're different. It's important, folks. Of those 55 statements, at least 25% of them are the statement, love one another. But what I noticed also, many of the statements deal with how we communicate with one another. How we communicate, how we talk with one another. Many of them have to do with that. And so this morning, we're going to try to just look at a number of those statements about how we should communicate with one another. So open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to look at verses 18 and 19. We're going to start there. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Ephesians 5, 18. Do not get drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but what? But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or better, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not just one-time deal. We have to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the next verse, look what happens when you're filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I wanted to start with verse 18 because I'll tell you what, for us to speak in the right way to one another, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the book of James tells us that the wildest, most ferocious animal in the whole world is imprisoned behind the bars of our teeth. And all the animals of the world can be tamed. You can tame killer whales, Shamu. You can tame snakes, I think. We're not gonna try it up here, but you can tame lions and elephants and all these things, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And what that means is, you know what, in the flesh, I can't control this thing. If you could control your tongue and you were perfect in what you spoke all the time, you'd be perfect. That's what the Bible says. We can't do it. The only way you can control, only way I can control this tongue is to have it under control of the Holy Spirit. God has to control our tongues. That's why we started in verse 18. And we're speaking to one another. I think King James says speaking to yourselves, but the same thing. Speaking to one another. Now the Bible is clear. There are ways that we should speak to one another. And then there are ways we should not speak to one another. And I want to first of all look at how we are not to speak to one another. There's a number of one another statements to tell us how not to speak to one another. The first one I'd point out is do not lie to one another. And that is Colossians 3:9. Let me read it to you. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. You see, lying is a characteristic of an unsaved man. Unsaved man. But if any man be in Christ, we are a new what? New creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, he says, do not lie to one another. Well, do Christians lie to one another? Well, you know what? In Colossians 3:9, the literal translation of do not lie to one another, Paul says, stop it. Stop lying to one another. There was lying going on in the church at Colossae. And do Christians ever lie? Well, what is a lie? A lie is an untruthful statement which is made with the purpose to deceive. Now sometimes, okay, maybe somebody, maybe a Christian, actually does that. Says, gives a full-blown lie. But you know, there's a whole bunch of different ways to lie. Not just telling a full-blown, you know, do we ever exaggerate? You know, kind of blow things a little bit out. I'll tell you what, I've been to many pastors' conferences in the past. And you know what? There's a question. When you go to a pastor's conference, you get along with other pastors, there's always one question that they ask. You know what that is? Who said it? How big is your church? How big's your church? What a dumb question. That is. That's a stupid question because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Maybe some of the most powerful, best churches are really small churches. Doesn't matter. But they ask, how big's your church? Well, evangelistically speaking, Faith Bible Fellowship is 1,000 members. I'd never say that. But I suspect at pastors' conferences, there's a lot of lying going on. A lot of exaggeration out of pride. So do you ever exaggerate? Do you ever tell half-truths? You remember Abraham in the Old Testament? Remember when he went down to Egypt? Remember what he did? He said, Sarai, this is my sister. This is my sister. Was that true?
No.
It was his half-sister. So it was half true, right? But I'll tell you, what's the problem with a half-truth? It's a half a lie, right? It's a half a lie. And you know what? He was rebuked. He lost his testimony. You know, he didn't just do that once, did he? He did it again with Abimelech. Wasn't it with Abimelech? He did the same thing. He said, why'd you do this? I'll tell you what. The problem with half-truths are half-lies. Did you ever do that? Do we ever just twist the truth a little bit to make ourselves look better? Do we ever do that? What do they call that in Washington, D.C.? Do we ever spin the truth to make ourselves look a little bit better or to make things sound better? Well, we shouldn't do that. The Bible says we shouldn't do that. Another way we can lie, you can lie with statistics. I heard of a survey taken among evangelical Christians, and they were asked, do you ever lie? 90% said occasionally that they lied, and the other 10% lied. Do you know what? Look at our lives. Do we ever do this stuff? And even you can even lie with silence. Because if you know something's true and somebody says something that's not true and you let it go and you don't maybe say something, that can be a lie. Well, the Bible says when we come to us in the church, and this is not only for church, by the way. All these things are not just for church. It's for home. I'm glad we have the children up here today. We're not to lie. We're not to lie to our parents. Our parents aren't to lie to the children. And we're not to lie to one another. Right. Do not lie to one another. That's one way. Don't do that. That's a one another statement. There's another one another statement. A second way we shouldn't speak to one another. Do not, listen to this. Do not attack one another. Do not attack one another. Put this verse down. James 4:11. Listen to what it says. Do not speak against one another. Brethren, he who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. Don't speak against, don't slander your brother or sister in the church. James 5:9 says, do not complain, brethren, against one another. Attacking, complaining, gossiping. Do you know what? The devil is an accuser. He is a slanderer. In fact, I believe it's in Revelation chapter 12 that it says that the devil, day and night before the throne of God, accuses us, accuses the brethren, and slanders us. C.H. Spurgeon, a great Baptist preacher, once preached a sermon with a very intriguing title. I remember I read this. I got online. You can get this sermon online. But he preached this sermon, and here's the title. How saints may help the devil. Think of that. How saints may help the devil. And if I remember correctly, the theme of that was, when we in the church speak against one another and attack one another and slander one another and gossip about one another and say nasty things about one another, we're doing the work of the devil. Amen. And then the devil, he can just sit back and relax and laugh and let us do his work. So do not attack one another. Does that ever happen in a church? I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about other churches. Does it ever happen that people kind of, instead of there's a problem and instead of attacking the problem, they attack the person? Guys, we're on the same team. We're all in this together. We're all on the same team. We're all for Jesus. We're not to attack one another. It happens in churches. No, folks, it happened not only today. It happened in the first century church, didn't it? I'll tell you that the Corinthians, first of all, were at each other. The Galatians were at each other. Galatians 5:15, listen to what it says. Paul said to the Galatians, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you do not consume, are not consumed by one another. There's a one another saying, don't bite and devour one another. They were practicing Christian cannibalism. They were at each other. Don't do that. Don't do that. We are not to judge and criticize and attack one another. I don't know, how many of you have ever been to Planet Fitness? Anybody here, Planet Fitness? They have a what zone? Judgment-free zone. No judgment zone. I'll tell you what, the church should be a no judgment zone. Amen. We're here on the same team. We're not to be criticizing and slandering or gossiping. Boy, oh boy, that can kill. Do not attack one another. Do not lie to one another. Do not attack one another. Listen to this one. Do not murmur or grumble with one another. Oh, it's silent. John 6:43, Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble with one another. The context of that, folks, is the Bread of Life discourse. It's one of the longest sermons of Jesus in the Bible, next to, I think, the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the longest sermons. And he preached this sermon, and you know what people did? They got in gripe groups. They got in some groups, and they started to murmur and grumble. And Jesus said, don't grumble. Don't do that. Don't murmur with each other or one another. Don't do that. Boy, I'm glad that never happens in any churches. Woo! You know, we got to be careful with that, right? You know what? God hates grumbling. He hates murmuring. You remember in the Old Testament, the people of God have done this for a long time. Because when they're out in the wilderness, what were they doing? Murmuring. They were grumbling. And who heard? God heard. And he came down and he talked to Moses. And he said, Moses, they're not grumbling against you. They're not murmuring against you. They're grumbling against who? Against me. And you know what? It says in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, therefore, do not grumble. Don't murmur. Because you remember, when they murmured, God sent the destroyer to destroy them. God hates murmuring. So he says, do not murmur with one another. Three things we shouldn't do. Do not lie. Do not attack. And do not grumble. And you think about that. Who causes all that kind of stuff? Satan. He's the liar, right? When he lies from his own nature. Just comes natural. And he incites us to lie. Who's the attacker? Who's the accuser? Who's the slanderer? Satan. And I'll tell you what, he's the biggest grumbler ever. Bill, before the Lord there, you saw that? Grumble. Don't do those things. That destroys. Well, how should we use our mouth, our tongue? How should we speak to one another? Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. Just turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. A lot in chapter 4 about how we should speak to one another. First of all, down to 4:25. Look at 4:25. We are to speak truthfully to one another. That's the opposite. Don't lie to one another. Speak truthfully to one another. It says, therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And again, speaking to Christians, speak truth. Lay aside the falsehoods. Speak truth. And you think about that. You think about our God. Our God is the true God. Amen? He's the only true God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. So if we are filled with God and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to speak truth. We're going to speak truth to one another. We're going to be truthful. But secondly, not only should we be truthful or speak truthfully to one another, we've got to speak lovingly to one another. Look up at Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth, how? In love, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. You know, truth can be brutal. Can it? Raw truth can be brutal. I'll tell you, you want to know the truth about something? Talk to a kid. Talk to a child. And they can be brutal. I'll tell you, they're not trying to be brutal, but they can be brutal. I remember 2 years ago when Lucy was 5 years old, and we had her over to our house, and my wife had put a picture on the mantle of, it was taken on our wedding day. It was myself and my wife. We were entering the reception area, and they have a picture, and we put it on the mantle. And Lucy came over that day, and she was in the living room, and she looked over at me, and she looked up at that picture, and she said, Papa, who's that? And I said, well, Lucy, that's Papa and Grammy on our wedding day. And she looked at me, big, incredulous eyes. She said, you've got to be kidding. I don't know what that says about me now, but I mean, children can be kind of, they're truthful. But you know what? We've got to speak the truth, but we've got to marinate it with what? With love. With love. You see, truth without love is brutality. But love without truth is sentimentality. But love with truth, that's maturity. Amen. We grow up in all aspects into him who is our head, even Christ. We've got to speak truth. We shouldn't lie ever to one another. There's no room for that. But I'll tell you what, we've got to do it lovingly. Not only in the church, I'll tell you in our homes. Yes. Does that happen in your home? Are you truthful? Are you truthful with your parents? Are you truthful with your spouse? Are you truthful in love? That's what God wants. That's what builds a marriage. That's what builds a church. Yes. Speaking the truth. But speaking, we should speak lovingly. But also, we should speak purely and graciously to one another. Look at verse 29 of chapter 4. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word that's good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. I'm going to tell you what. my dear wife taught this diligently to our four sons. Amen, Jeff? I'm going to tell you, trying to raise four boys in a small home and have them not kill each other is a real task. And I'm going to tell you, when they weren't fist fighting, the verbal communication was not always what it should have been. And my wife said, you are going to learn this verse. Jeff, do you know this verse?
Let no unwholesome word.
Come on. Did it always work? No, it didn't. But boy, oh boy, what a powerful verse, huh? Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. You know what that means? Let no garbage. That's what the word means. Garbage come out of your mouth. The word, the Greek word is saphros, which refers to that which is corrupt, foul. It was used of rotten fruit, vegetables, and other spoiled food. Now, I was going to do an illustration. I think I'm going to do it. I wasn't going to do it, but now I'm going to do it. I don't know where I got this illustration from. I wanted to bring two big bags of garbage in here. And I happened to mention it to one of the trustees, and they said, if you do that, you're out of the church, Pastor. But just imagine these being bags of garbage, Mike, and just imagine them just coming out of our mouth. I'm okay. Don't let garbage come out of your mouth. No unwholesome word. No foul, you know, listen, foul language should never proceed out of the mouth of a Christian. No off-color jokes, no profanity, dirty stories, vulgarity, never cross our lips. Now, I'll tell you, I had an experience when I got saved. Not everybody has this experience. But I'll tell you, the night I got saved, I lost 90% of my vocabulary. God took his divine eternal soap and washed out my mouth. And after that, I had no problem with swearing. I didn't swear. I did not have foul language anymore. Now, sometimes he does that with certain sins in our life. Other sins I struggle with. And there are people I know, and I know of, that are Christians that struggle with their mouth. They are, when they're around the guys, and they're around maybe at work, and everybody's using all kinds of language, It's hard. You know what? You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit and give God the control of your tongue. Wherever you are, not just here in church, but in your home. No unwholesome word should proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word that's good for, to build up, to edification. Are you building one another up with your mouth in your home and in the church? We should be building each other up. According to the need of the moment. Just think, if we only spoke what was needed. Well, I wouldn't speak very much, I guess. Of course, Proverbs 10:19, you know what it says? Where there's a multitude of words, transgression is unavoidable. And he who restrains his lips is wise. According to him, maybe I should speak less. Don't know amens. That it may give grace. Do you know who that reminds us of? Gracious words. Jesus. Amen. Listen to this verse. Luke 4:22. They were all wondering at the gracious words that were falling from his lips. Jesus, when he spoke to build people up. Now, sometimes he confronted, but most of the time he was building people up with his words. Pure words, gracious words. That's the kind of words we need to have in the body of Christ, in our homes. Number four, we should speak to one another scripturally and joyfully. Turn over to chapter 5, now 19. We're back to where we started, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with melody in your hearts to the Lord. We should speak scripturally. And again, this is a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When a person is filled with the Spirit, we're going to be speaking to other people in the church. We're going to be sharing scripture with one another. Right? I'll tell you, best thing you can give to somebody is give them a verse of scripture. Amen. And some of you are really good at this. And I want to tell you, when you get in your quiet time and God speaks something to you, it is to bless you. But it's not only to bless you. It's to bless others. Amen. So when he speaks to you, then go tell somebody. Yes. Just like Crystal shared the verse today with us from the Word of God. Other people, you know, some people in the church are doing, they're texting scripture. I love it. Maybe you can't get to somebody, but text them a scripture verse. I'm praying this for you. I got several this week. Pastor, I'm praying this verse for you. Man, what a blessing. Some people are online and they're getting the word out. We are to speak scripturally to one another and joyfully. I see in that verse, in verse 19, I see just joy. You know, speak to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with melody in your heart to the Lord, joyfully. Yes. Boy, we should have the joy of the Lord in us, and we should speak to one another joyfully. And when we sing, I thank the Lord for our praise team, our worship team. Man, oh man, do I get blessed when they're leading us in worship, because they're not performing, they're worshiping God. And we're singing to the Lord, but you know what? We're singing to each other. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't sing because I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Join the club. I can't either, but you know what? I sing because I cannot contain it. I have to sing because I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I've got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. I've got something that the world can't give and it keeps me day by day. I've got something that's worth talking about. Makes me sing and it makes me shout. I've got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. I got a relationship with the living God. And I'll tell you, Christianity is a singing religion. And I'll tell you, if you don't have the joy of the Lord, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And we should speak joyfully to one another. And number 5, we should speak thankfully to one another. Verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. We are always to be giving thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you what, we have everything to be thankful for. Amen? You're saved, we can be thankful. We are saved. Our names are written in the book of life. We have a personal relationship with God now. We have an inheritance when we get there that's unfading, undefiled, reserved for us in heaven. Amen. We got right now, we got pie in the sky by and by, but we got cake on our plate while we wait. And we got something to be thankful about. I'll tell you, even when you're going through tough times, and I'll tell you, this last year has been really tough. It's really helped me to just, and my wife encourages me with this all the time, make a thankless list. You know, you're feeling bad, you're feeling down, your body hurting, you feel depressed, start making a thankless list. We should be thankful. And when we express that, man, I'm thankful to God, I'll tell you, it blesses others, it builds up others. How's your speech? How's your speech? You see, all of this, you know, the negative stuff, lying and attacking and when we grumble, that's all from the devil. But all this stuff is from God. He is truth. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. He is love. Speak love. He is grace. Speak graciously and build people up. He is the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. He is what we're thankful for. He is good. Yes. It's all of God. It's all of God. How you doing? At church, you might be doing pretty good. How you doing in your home? How you doing in the office? How you doing when you get together with your buddies? I'll tell you what, we need to speak the truth in love. gracious thanksgiving, the word of God. Well, quickly, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. One or two other statements. I'll do these quickly. But Colossians 3:16. Great verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Here it is. Teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds familiar. Now, first of all, let me just say this. Teaching and admonishing one another. Listen, this is not just for pastors. This is not just for elder leaders or Sunday school teachers. Now, pastors should be pastor teachers. Elders are to be apt to teach. Some people have the gift of teaching. Praise God. But when it says teaching and admonishing one another, that's everybody. Amen. That's all of us. That wasn't just given to pastors. We're all to be teaching and admonishing one another in the church. That's important. Now, how can we do that? The key, first of all, requirement is what? Let the word of Christ, what? Dwell in you richly. I'll tell you what, if we're going to fulfill this one, we got to dive into this book. We got to get into this book. We got to study this book. We've got to read this book. We've got to meditate on this book. And yes, we've got to memorize. Don't say I can't memorize. Don't you say that. We've got to memorize. We've got to put it in. And I think it was Mike that, maybe it was Mike that said, somebody said, when the devil attacks, you know, and you're not carrying a Bible, you can't say, well, let me first of all go get my Bible. You got to have that rhema. You got to have that word to say back to the devil. That means you got to remember. You got to meditate. You got to let the word of God get in you richly. Remember what the psalmist said? Psalmist said about the righteous man. He said, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate occasionally. Day and night, right? Day and night. His delight. What do you delight in? Oh, that, well, good. Do you delight in shopping? I mean, what do you love to do? He loves fishing. Delight in fishing. Running. Shopping. Watching sports. March Madness. There's Aaron. Watching March Madness. Working out. You know what? He said, my delight. You know what I love to do? I love to get in the Word. I love to get in the Word and read the Word and meditate on the Word. I'll tell you what. Isn't it a delight to read and meditate on the Word of God? I mean, if we can do all the other delights, we should delight in the Word. We have God's eternal Word. He says, I delight and I meditate day and night. Joshua 1:8 says the same thing. The words of this book shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou shalt be careful to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. You see what he said? It's not going to depart out of my mouth. What's that mean? Meditation is like the chewing of a cud with a cow. You chew the cud and then you swallow it and then you bring it back up. And you chew it some more. And you think about it. You even think about it in the night watch. God woke me up at 4:00 this morning and was speaking to me. And speaking to me his word. Praise God. For his word, we got to meditate. We got to be Bereans, right? Yes. Right? We've got to we've got to receive the word with great eagerness, searching the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. We got to get in. If we're going to do this, we're going to teach and admonish one another, we've got to let the Word of God saturate us. But not only get it in us, then we've got to do it. Remember what Joshua said? He said, we meditate on it and so that we can do it. See, this is the pattern. Get the Word of God in you. Get the Word of God through you. Do it. Then teach it. Listen to this. Put this verse on. Ezra 7:10. Great verse. It says there, Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord. Yes. And to practice it. Yes. And then to teach it. Yes. In all Israel. Isn't that neat? Come on, somebody say it's neat. Come on, it's good. It is. And this is how you can be a teacher. This is the most powerful teaching you can ever do. Parents, you need to know the Word of God to be able to teach it. You know what it says in the Old Testament? It says, when your children come to you and ask, what do these things mean? You are to tell them, go ask your mother. Oh, no, that's the Revised Standard Edition. No, that's not it. Don't go ask your mother, you're to tell them. But you know, if you're going to teach them, if you're going to teach your kids, you better do what you're teaching. Because you can't fool a kid. They can look at you, they know if you're a hypocrite. They know if you're just, do as I say, not as I do. Throw up. No. You learn it. You do it. You say, Lord, how does this apply to me? Then you diligently teach it to your kids. And that's what we do in this church. I'll tell you what, if there's ever a day when we needed to know the Word of God, it is today. Amen. We need to be in the Word. We need to have the Word in us. We need to be asking God to help us to do the Word. And then we can teach and admonish one another and build up one another with this mouth. Amen? Amen? Amen. One last one. And I'll give you this. Number three, building up one another. Let me just give you a couple of verses on that. Romans 14:19 says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. And 1 Thessalonians, put this down, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, building up one another just as, therefore, encouraging one another and building up one another just as you also are doing. He says, listen, you're doing it. And I thank God. I'll tell you what, I am praising God. I see so many of the one another statements being lived out in this church. Praise God. That's good. It's the love of Jesus. And that's wonderful. But do it more. Do it more. Use your mouth to encourage others in the body. Use your mouth to build up others in the body. Everything we do, everything we say should be helpful, constructive, encouraging, instructive, and uplifting. That'll build the church. Now, I just want to share one little poem with you. And then I'm through. It goes like this. I saw them tearing a building down, a gang of men in a dusty town. With a yo-hee-ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the side wall fell. I asked the foreman if these men were as skilled as the men he'd hire if he were to build. He laughed and said, oh no, indeed, common laborers is all I need. For those men can wreck in a day or two what the builders have taken years to do. I asked myself as I went my way, which kind of role am I to play? Am I a builder who builds with care, measuring life with rule and square? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town content with the role of tearing down? You know, Satan is a destroyer. Satan tears down. Satan lies. Satan attacks. Satan grumbles. But you know what? When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to be building our church. No. Building his church. Building one another. Because we're going to be building with our mouth. Amen? Lord, we just thank you, God. Help us, Lord, to speak in the right way in this church. Lord, it's important. We got to watch what we say. I know the tempter always tries to get in and tries to kill, steal, and destroy. We ask you to rebuke him away from this church. And Lord, help us to use our mouth and our speech. Use the word of God to build up one another in this church. To speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody in the hearts to the Lord. And Lord, may you be glorified and praised. In Jesus' name, amen.